The views expressed by the host or hosts in this show do not necessarily represent those of our clients, sponsors, partners, or guests, and should not be considered investment advice in any way. Similarly, the views and opinions of our guests and clients do not necessarily reflect those of our hosts or our platform. Nothing shared on this platform or any other platform affiliated with us should be read and construed as constituting investment advice of any kind on the part of Insider Exchange, any of its hosts, guests, partners, or sponsors. Trading and investing carry varying levels of risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Please ensure that you fully understand the risks and take appropriate care to manage your risk. We strongly advise that you obtain independent financial, legal, and tax advice from regulated professionals and institutions before proceeding with investment decisions.
Do you know what I didn't realize? I didn't realize that Oscar Piastri was leading the Drivers' Championships.
Yeah.
McLaren won, great, lovely, they've pretty much secured Constructors. I didn't realize
they won
that,
the Constructors.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't realize that Oscar has now is leading the Drivers.
That's has been for an age.
Really?
Yeah. Norris came out blazing and then got outblazed.
Yeah, and then fun team fact. Orders came into the fold, and that's always awkward, right?
Fun fact is Verstappen can still win it.
Really? Yeah. Statistically speaking, okay.
Yeah, he needs a couple of DNFs from the peeps, and then it's Vince, yeah.
No. Whenever you need help to get over, no. Never a good place to be.
Yeah, yeah, no, and he, yeah. If he won every race, he needs them to do badly.
So the moment, it's going to get to a point where one more point by Piastri or someone clinches it and he's out of the running.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that will be interesting to keep an eye on, I suppose.
Let's kick things off. Let's get the show on the road.
Unfiltered. 98 are currently collapsing.
Privilege of welcoming one of our good friends into studio.
So not even Buffett listens to Buffett.
Sue me, China, if you must.
1 or 22 on AC, but you're not getting that at home.
Ken, there's quite a bit to discuss.
The stock is cheap.
The last podcast I did.
Oh, introduce me.
I'm Jimmy Munaha.
And I'm Simon Brown.
Welcome to Insider Exchange.
And welcome to Insider Exchange. We are diving into a couple of things. First things first, we have, as we said we would, let go of Starbucks because they didn't sponsor us. We're not upset about it. We're not holding any grudges, but we just thought we'd move on. Seasons are changing. Times are changing. We're trying new things. Part of those new things include a new Cinnabon that we found. We found this last week in the mall. We're trying that out. Maybe we'll give a shout out to Cinnabon. See how that conversation goes. But
I like Cinnabons. And I like these ones,
bite-sized. Do you know what? I think that's the convenience of it, is you get the sugar rush, the taste of the Cinnabon, all of the little things, right? For those that don't know what we're talking about that are watching the show, it's those ones, the little ones. They come in a small little tray. You get different flavors, so you get to try all the different flavors, but you don't also have the commitment of a giant Cinnabon to get through the day. So you can still function when the sugar eventually kicks in.
Yeah, and wears off.
And wears off, right? Exactly, up and down. So, yeah, they're useful. They're bite-sized. They're very good-sized. Speaking of things that are useful, useful updates. We are going to get into our useful updates. As you know, we have a very specific format for this segment of our show. We've got a timer in place. We're going to time ourselves and see where or how many of the updates we can get through in the limited amount of time. We try to give ourselves 60 seconds per update. So that being said, this week we have around 8 or so updates to get through. We're going to time ourselves from that perspective and see if we can get through all of them. So we are starting our timer, and in 3, 2, 1, go. First update, AMD going for broke.
They have to go for broke.
That was such a weird announcement. They came out and announced that they would be entering into, or they've offered to enter into a deal with OpenAI to give them 6 gigawatts of computing power in exchange for 10% of the share options into AMD. Now, I can see the logic. You're going up against someone like an NVIDIA and you need something in the market. But 10%?
Yeah, the whole thing's weird. And it's a circular dealing, which is becoming more and more wild. I mean, NVIDIA's invested here, there, and everywhere. Now AMD's come to the party. It is, I mean, I guess you can see why you do it, right? You need some relevance and you need to get to the party. So this is how you do it. You come in through the window.
Suppose it's a win for the likes of OpenAI in that respect if they do go for that. That's the update on that. Gold? Yeah.
Gold, $4,000. Boom, boom, boom. Someone asked me in the weekend, have you sold your gold? I'm like, why would I be selling my gold? So, fun fact, the close on Friday was 8 green weeks in a row. Last time, so weirdly, we saw that beginning of the year. We started the year with 8 green weeks. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Trump, I suppose. But as far as I can tell, we've never had 8 green weeks before. It is looking a little bit stretched at about at this above $4,000 level. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the gold story marches on, right? I mean, the troubles, we'll get to the new tariff nonsense in a moment. Gold marches. I do think it's a little higher current levels, but I can't argue. My wife buys dollars, but then she hates dollars, so she turns it into gold. So she's like thinking she's the smart. Look, so far she is a smart gold trader. Who knew? Fun fact, over the last 25 years, NASDAQ, S&P, gold. Gold wins.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gold has been the best performer of the three. That's the update on that. Next update is Apple. Apple seems to be facing an aluminium problem.
Huh?
I'm not going to say aluminum. We're not American. It's aluminium. Aluminium problem in that users of the new iPhone 17, because we're now using an aluminium body, have complained of excessive scratching and discoloration of the phones, especially because you now get it in colors like orange. Some people have said it is as soon as when they pick up the device, before they even get home, the keys have already scratched the phone.
Yeah, no, that is a design flaw. You got to say, Steve Jobs would never have let that happen.
That's the only thought that came to mind.
Yeah, no, that's terrible. Really?
While we are...
It's like a 30,000 rand phone.
That's it. For it to be, you know...
Okay, I've got a case on it, but still. The thing's 3 years old, it's got no scratches. I have had to replace the lens thing three times, which just proves that the lens thing's really good because I've broken two of them.
Well, there you go. That also speaks to the fact that perhaps Apple might have to rethink how they approach the market. But that's all on the Apple news. The next update that we have is the precious metals exchange that's being established.
Yeah, so this is happening in Russia, is it?
Yes.
It's the Moscow Financial Forum want a precious metal exchange. I mean, these sort of things have been happening forever and a day. I remember 20 years ago there was going to be oil in euros, or maybe it was going to be in somewhere in Dubai or something, a new oil exchange, etc. And they've all died. They've all faded away and died a boring death. Russia's a weird place to do it. But look, the flip side is, I mean, there's a bunch of places that like Russia. We're one of them. India's another. China's another. They like their oil. I mean, best of luck to them. There was something over the weekend which was being traded in renminbis, and now I can't remember what. But it is... Trump is doing many things, and part of it is we saw the export data from China this morning, 8.3% higher. China's doing just fine in this trade war, finding new partners. Trump is making enemies and losing friends.
They're not worried. It's halftime. We're going to take a halftime break. We'll be back with more updates in a second. The halftime break is over. We have less than 4 minutes to get the rest of the updates completed. Straight into it. The update from the Road Accident Fund.
Yeah, so, I mean, I didn't even know where to start with this, and we need more than a minute. We need about 14 days. So... firstly, 102 law firms were overpaid by 340 million because of poor record control. It turns out they had a secret bank account, and maybe secrets in inverted commas, which I don't fully understand the purpose of it, except that it was so that people couldn't get paid or something like that. I mean, the whole thing is just absolutely insane. And to be clear, everyone pays into this, right? Because it's part of your petrol levy. And to be doubly clear, this really is to help people who are injured in road accidents and don't have their medical aid. And it's a surprise, surprise, it's been raided. No surprises.
Like the Swiss gentleman who was allegedly paid 500 million rand for his accident. We don't know more details about that, and we don't have more time to get into that. Next update is the Cell C update. Cell C's missing billions. Bizarre, right? Cell C, for context, has been reporting its financials. They are obviously part of the Blue Labels Telecoms business. Blue Label Telecoms is a listed entity, and the missing billions arise from the discrepancy between Cell C's financial books, financial reports, and those of Blue Label Telecoms. The Blue Labels business has accounted for more than 10 billion or almost 10 billion rand in assets on their book that aren't reflected on the Cell C book. Now, anyone that knows the basics of accounting is that when it looks the same on one and consolidated into a parent company's ledger structure, the numbers should ideally look the same there. Now, Cell C's argued from various different perspectives that this is something to do with non-audited numbers versus audited numbers. But there's a 10 billion rand discrepancy.
10 billion. Whoa.
All we have time for, Si. That's all we're going to get into. Okay. Because we need to get into the new tariff.
New tariff. Yes, 6 months. Yes. We'd forgotten about the orange one in this tariff. So China go and do some rare earth stuff. And of course they have. So the rare earths aren't rare. They're just hard to process. Well, no one's processing them. And put restrictions on that. About 4 days later, Donnie wakes up and says 100% tariffs on top of existing, which will go in effect to the end of the month. At the end of the month, China's already come and said, no, you've misunderstood this. You can apply for things just like you can apply to buy NVIDIA chips. You can apply to have the rare earths. You must just send the paperwork. Mm-hmm. And then Donnie over the weekend says, all's love, fair in love and war. Futures are higher. But if you were a overly geared crypto trader, your life is over.
Do you think, this is a question you're not going to be able to answer, that... Again, didn't think the conversation all the way through from the White House's perspective, and then suddenly had to backpedal, but you can't be seen to be backpedaling in the public domain.
Well, except this is exactly what Trump does, taco.
There we go. Trump always chickens out, taco trade. Final update, and in line with Trump, we're sticking with that. Maria Mercado, the leader of the opposition in Venezuela, was awarded over the weekend the Nobel Peace Prize that we know Orange Mussolini had been after for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't awarded to him. But he did release a statement saying that Maria phoned him and dedicated her award to him for his work in stopping the 8 wars that we didn't know about as a world. And he feels honored that she would have dedicated her award that she was honored with to him.
So 2 thoughts. One is they phoned the poor lady at like 1:55 and saying 1 minute of time we're going to tell the world. Like she's not even, like hasn't been to the bathroom yet and brushed her teeth. I mean, that's cool and unusual. If he ends Ukraine war and Gaza, he can have it. He must end them first.
He must end the wars first. We're out of time. That's useful updates for the week. Folks, remember, if you've got useful updates, share them with us. If you've got things that you'd like for us to include in our useful updates, share those with us. We're going to get into our deep dive next. In our deep dive this week, we are diving into something special. Last week, Si tasked me with the impossible task of being a good concierge. And part of that is finding the right vehicle. So Si's parameters for this were finding a sports car he would enjoy driving under 1.5 million rand. Now, before we get into this, a couple of disclaimers. This is not an exhaustive list. We are looking at the things that are currently available in the market. We would love to get your thoughts on it as well. Of course, if you find anything that is out there in the market that might meet these conditions and parameters, we'd love to hear from you. But we're going to be doing quite an interesting exercise looking at what vehicles you could potentially get that are luxury sports vehicles under 1.5 million that might even have a decent resale value from an investment purpose, right? Si, this is more a passion buy than anything else, and I suppose that's a lot of what this market is. But within this market, as I said last week, I still believe you can find some really good deals, number one. Some of them will have a good kind of resale market value and those sorts of things after the fact because of the type of car that it is. But more than that, I still thought we could find you a car you would thoroughly enjoy driving. Right, and those were the parameters.
Yeah, and I'm a simple man. I'm from Durban. I'm like, no airs on me.
Now, part of what we looked at here, I didn't limit the conversation to convertibles because the Ferrari you had looked at wasn't a convertible. And so I kind of kept it broad and I kind of kept it into more of a fun drive than some of the requirements. So
You mean I can take my friends?
Not all of them. Only the very special ones.
Because currently my friends have to go in the boot.
So you currently have as your front runner a Ferrari or 1978 Ferrari 308.
Yeah.
That has
Magnum PI.
Magnum PI. That's the reference for those that don't know what car we're talking about or that might be listening to our audio podcast. Now, we have this in place and it is... It has about 145,000 kilometers on it. It's at about 1.3 million rand, but we've got our ceiling price at 1.5. So the rules were very simple. Anything I could find under the 1.5 mark that I thought you would have more fun driving than perhaps this 308 GTS, right? So I've got a couple of options.
That GTS, and you look at it, it's like the steering wheel, right? It's just a steering wheel. There's nothing. There's nothing. The gear shift, you've got to go and do weights.
It's classic. It's timeless. Uh-huh. It doesn't even look like it has power steering.
No, that'd be silly. It does have aircon, which I don't believe in. I think the aircon is, what it does is you flick the aircon switch and the roof goes down.
Everything looks very old school, very manual, to be fair. Again, it is from 1978, as we have mentioned. And I think the roof does come off, Si.
Yeah.
I think it's a detachable roof, mid-roof. And then you've kind of got that top bit exposed and that roof will store away wherever it does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So from a fun perspective, let's do a bit of a overview of the vehicle itself, right? In terms of what we're competing with in terms of engine and all of those other factors. So we have a 2.9-liter V8 engine that's sitting here. It does about 188 kilowatts, which back in 1978, 188 kilowatts would have been quite impressive. If you have the European version of the vehicle, that does about 177. No, sorry, if you have the American version of the vehicle, that does about 177 kilowatts. Different versions of the engine would have been sent to different parts of the world, right? So we're dealing with something in that range, right? Okay, I've got a couple of things that I think you'd have more fun in that would likely and potentially cost you less.
Hmm.
Right.
Cool.
Okay, first off, let me start in a similar kind of year range, right?
Were you born in 1978?
I was not. I was not.
Just checking.
Okay. So we have roughly, this is more of a racy kind of car, right?
Mm-hmm.
First option is a 1980 Porsche 911 SC race car, specifically the race car edition, which then came with a 3-liter engine, very similar to the 2.9. This was not a V8, right?
Built for competition.
That's
it. Roll cage, custom exhaust.
That's it. Now, the particular one that I've got here has a little more kilometers than the Ferrari that you've got. I'm sending you the picture so you can look at. We will put up some of the pictures online as well.
The mileage is fine.
The mileage is not really a concern because it's a luxury buy at this point.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
But we are 500,000 rand cheaper than our max budget. So we are at under a million rand on this. And that's why I want to put it into contention here. It's a classic, 1980, 1978, same
comes
time
frame.
Comes with a fire extinguisher. Is a rear wheel drive. Is a manual, much like the manual that you've got.
Proper
is
bucket seat.
Also in red. Is a classic Porsche.
This is proper bucket seat.
That's
like
it.
My wife is not going to get into this car. Does the roof come off?
The roof does not. However, the 911s around this time.
Yeah.
You weren't buying it for the roof coming off.
No.
I think this is a serious
concern. So I've driven a 911, not a fancy SC race car version type thing, but I have driven a 911. It remains, and probably because I haven't driven many fancy cars, it remains the most exciting thing I've driven. Going down the M1 at 4 o'clock in rush hour traffic at high speed, you see a gap, you just form a move, boom. You're in the gap. Like the car, but that, like no one even, people, like, sure, this thing is pretty. Semi-slick tires.
There we go.
God, they're trying to kill you.
There we go. So that is an option.
Yeah.
Right? And I only brought that up as an option because it kind of lines up with where you are in terms of the 78 version.
Mm-hmm.
My next option, and I found that this is fairly underrated until I'd been in one. And I've been in one on many an occasion, right? I will have to qualify this, of course. It doesn't open. So it's not a drop top, Right.
Okay. I thought you meant like it didn't open. Like, how do I get it?
No, it's not a convertible. It's a coupe. Mm-hmm. But I do think that we have a lot running for it. And I'll give you the spec. It is a 4.7 liter V8.
And I'm going to die.
That pushes out 338 kilowatts of power. It is a more modern 2017 version of the vehicle.
Oh, wow. That's practically new.
It has 14,800 kilometers. Less than 15,000 Ks. It is basically new. It is the sport special edition of this particular vehicle. And it is 100 Rand shy of our bill at 1,499,900. We can probably negotiate that away a little bit if we try, if we make a cash offer. I don't know. We'll figure that part out. It is a 2017 Maserati Gran Turismo. And I'm going to send you...
You can buy a Maserati for under 1.5.
Yes. And I'm going to send you the pictures because I want you to look at the pictures. While you're looking at the pictures, I've been in a vehicle like this.
I have not.
And the one thing I've absolutely loved about it is the sound. Just the pure roar of a V8 engine. Mm-hmm. Unrestricted, untampered with, and I suppose with the sports edition that this particular one is, that I've sent you, that could come with a performance exhaust as well, right?
Why do you need more performance? Like, what's the extra performance?
I told you I'd find you something fun. I told you.
This one even has back seats.
Yes. Very small back seats, but you can at least store the groceries in the back seat and not in the boot.
Oh.
And you can have a really short friend in the back seat as well. I'm sure we know short friends.
How come it's so cheap?
Maserati is fairly underloved, right? I think from a vehicle perspective, and this is part of what we're going to look at as well. Once we've gone through the options, we're going to look at things like popularity, resale value, investment case, and all of those after the fact. But I want you to kind of have an idea of where we sit.
Mm-hmm.
It's very well done. You don't have to do anything to it. There it is. And I think from a kilometers perspective, you've basically got a new car.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Pretty much have a new car. Mm-hmm. That is my option two that I'm putting forward for you. Option three, I've had to now quickly change around my option three because it was a Ferrari, but when I opened the picture of the Ferrari, it was a blue Ferrari.
Oh.
See, we agreed.
Who is this person who went to Ferrari and said, I love your cars, but please paint it blue, rip out the engine and put a turtle inside? Like, my brother-in-law, and I was chatting with him yesterday, he lives in Bordeaux, and he used to collect cars. He's down to only four because he's got no more garage space. And he agreed, like it should be like the test. Like when you walk in and you say you don't want it red, they should say, and there's the door, bye-bye. And then they like stab you and stamp you in the back or something.
Never to return
Never
to Ferrari.
Never to return. No.
Okay. So we are sticking in theme with sports vehicles, right? So we can't then venture outside of that. I'm going to get a third option going for us. And my third option...
Ah, you have a third. Okay.
Do you have something? I'm happy to take a look at it.
Well, not within the budget, although I just find a 1987 Toyota Cressida. I mean, I know they were nice cars, but that nice?
I don't think you want one of those. And I don't think it meets the criteria of sports car.
There's a 2004 Porsche Boxster. But were they real Porsches? The 550 Spider?
Look, I have people that call them Boxmen. So clearly not a real enough Porsche to be considered seriously.
No, that's what I thought.
Right.
Then I have one, but there's a small little problem with it.
Okay.
The same people who had that 911 that you did show me.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got a it's lovely. It's only done 74,000 miles. It's a rear-wheel drive, which is the way it should be. There's even a substantial history available. It's a 1973 bright red Jaguar E-Type V12 Roadster.
You can't have that sign. Because it is out of budget.
1.2 million out of budget.
It is out of budget.
You see how quickly stuff goes pear-shaped.
It is out of budget. Whoa. Right. I have found something that fits in our budget. Another coupe, sadly, but I think you'll still be relatively happy here.
Mm-hmm.
Comes in around the price of the Porsche, although I don't know if I want to add this to the list just yet. And that is because... the league that we're in at the moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this one quite stacks up. But folks, perhaps you can weigh in on that. Perhaps this is an honorable mention, but it does meet our criteria. It does fit in with the budget, and it could be a whole lot of fun to drive. It is a 2017 50th anniversary 5-liter Shelby Super Snake.
Ooh.
Right? Remember, the criteria is things you can have fun with. At under $1 million on the car, right?
Jeez.
I wager it might not be as fast as the other ones. You're going to get the roar. You're going to get the sound.
It even has a boot.
It even has a boot.
How fancy is that?
This one's an automatic, although it is a right-hand drive, so you don't have to worry about left-hand drive, right-hand drives, and all of that. Has got all the original Shelby markings. Is an anniversary edition, and I think that's kind of why you give it a bit of an honorable mention. Not as classic as what we've got on the list.
Mm.
So, kind of fits there, but not entirely.
5 liters. Yeah, does this come with a petrol station?
No. We're not buying petrol. No. Petrol sold separately.
Petrol. So the 500,000 you save basically gets you what, Durban and back.
There you go. Minus the speeding tickets.
I included.
Oh no, but you've got a solution for that.
I have a solution.
We've got that solution. It's in another one of our episodes. If you want to go find it, Si did speak about that. It was an unfiltered opinion, actually, in one of our episodes, which will make it easier to find. So that is the other honorable mention that I want to put forward there. Right?
Mm.
Now, I think that for the last vehicle, I think I might know what I want to add here. Because of it's a replacement situation, folks, we apologize that it's taking a bit away from the other conversations, but it's important that we find the right car for Si.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if I'm going to find it within my price budget.
Oh, no.
I hope I can find one within my price budget. I see one. It's convertible, Si.
Oh, send it.
We are talking,
you know,
of course,
that October is my birthday month as well, hey?
Really?
Mm.
Okay, folks, we're starting a stock file to buy Si his sports car. But, of course, I must qualify this disclaimer. I know you said you didn't want a soft top, but I believe this is a soft top, sadly. Although, it's a very interesting gray, and I can see you like the color.
I just never thought I would like an Audi.
Yes! I'm going to put this out there for the folks listening to our podcast.
How does that gear shift work?
It's a 5-liter.
It's a Triptronic.
Yes. So, Audi R8 V10, 5.2-liter, pushing.
V10. I'm not even sure what V stands for, but I know that when you get to 10, like be careful because you might black out if you go too much accelerator.
So, quick crash course on engines.
Mm.
They have cylinders, right?
Yeah.
And you can see from the way an engine block is set up how the cylinders are arranged. Mm. A V-shaped engine simply means half the cylinders are on one side of the V, half are on the other, and together they look like the shape of a V. So if you've got a V10, you've got a 10-cylinder engine that has 5 cylinders on the one.
In the shape of a V instead of being parallel. Why the shape?
So it doesn't always look exactly like a V.
Sure.
But compare it to something like a BMW that has what was previously known as a straight 6 engine. It would have 6 cylinders all arranged one following the other.
I'm learning stuff and it's only Monday.
So the V engine, most of the times it is split. Half on this side, half on this side. Sometimes they sit parallel.
Mm-hmm.
As in the case of the R8.
This thing, the speedo goes up to 360.
There we go. 386 kilowatts. And I think I'm going to put this on the list ahead of the Shelby. On the basis of the fact that it meets your requirements more. It's still within our budget. It's a convertible.
Yeah.
And it almost has 400.
And it's a proper roadster coupe. And the thing with roadster is no back seats. And coupe, the roof comes off.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Shelby has back seats. Now, I don't know who's going to fit in there beyond a couple of groceries. And not if you went for a month lot of groceries. But this is a proper road to coupe.
Right. So we have our top three. And in that top three, unfortunately, Shelby sits as the 4th place honorable mention for now. There might be other honorable mentions. We'd love to get your thoughts on those as well. But
so I like the Maserati, but it's white. And like really a white car.
You can have it wrapped, Si. These are minor problems. We can have it wrapped.
Does wrapping really? I mean, I get that wrap works, but it's like in 10 years' time.
there are some really good guys that can wrap vehicles. But also, to answer your question around in 10 years' time, the benefit of wrapping means then that if you want to change it in 5 years, you can have a completely different color car. Positives, Si. Positives.
Okay.
You're going to enjoy driving it is the main thing, right? Mm-hmm. Also, if it is white, our logo is blue. We can put the logo on the side if you want. See? Write it off as a work expense. No, we'll figure that out later.
Hey, there's a Porsche. My bad. So I never spoke.
Right. So we have three. I'm going to ask you to rank the three and the fourth one, not the Shelby, the fourth one being against the original Ferrari. But the point of the exercise was to show you that there are other options. So before we get to the ranking,
I mean, looking at all these cars that have been confiscated in the last week and how much money gets paid.
Mostly blue in color. That's all we're going to say on that.
He bought a Lamborghini and painted it blue 3 times.
No, he bought, no. It was 2 Lamborghinis. 2 Aston Martin, 3 Lamborghinis, the Urus being the SUV version, a Ferrari 812, and 2 Aston Martins.
Hold on, Lamborghini do an SUV version?
Yes. I mean, have you not seen that?
This world is dying. What do you mean?
Have you not seen that? See, that unfortunately doesn't meet the criteria of what we're looking at.
No,
otherwise, I would have looked at an SUV.
Lamborghini SUV. No one wants an SUV. Come on.
Okay, I'm going to find you a picture in the meantime.
I'm amazed at what you can get for these sort of prices.
That's it, right?
I mean, you know.
And you're going to have a whole lot of fun in that as well.
To be clear, so the Porsche at R1 million, I mean, that's just the cost of a Hilux. So you choose Hilux, Porsche. How is Hilux managing to sell any cars when I can go and get a Porsche 911 SC race car that's older than Jimmy?
Because you can't drive the Porsche on a farm. And you can drive a Hilux on a farm, I suppose.
Well, then stop going to farms. Come on, it even has a Bilstein coil cover. I've no idea what that is, an elephant suspension kit. You can take it to a game reserve. It's got an elephant suspension kit.
Don't think that's what that means, but okay. I've sent you a picture of a Lamborghini Urus so that you can take a look at that just while we are on that note.
That is ugly. That is illegal. That should just not be allowed. That is, no.
We'll do an SUV
edition.
So
firstly, it's the wrong color.
Uh-huh.
In that it's not orange. And that offends me. And I'm not even a petrolhead and that offends me.
Okay, so before I get your thoughts around what you feel would be the ideal vehicle, we've got your buy-in. We've got a list narrowed down. I want us to get into perhaps some of the other mechanics. I mean, we did outline that, of course, this is a passion buy, right? Mm-hmm. So we are removing a lot of sense that comes with it. It's an emotional buy. It's about what ticks your fancy. And that's mostly how these vehicles are, you know, purchased and traded. Are you intending, if you buy a vehicle like this, to ever resell it? Or is it something where I'm buying it because I want the fun of it? And when I get tired of the fun of it, then perhaps I'll look for something
else. I bought my wife a car earlier in the year because we were sharing my MX-5 and I was worried we were putting too much mileage on it because that MX-5 is 16 years old. It's only done about 110,000, but it's old. And I'm like, you know what? We need to drive this thing less. Like if you just like going to the studio in the morning to do a radio show, just like, you know, don't take the MX-5, save the 7Ks there and back because it's literally 3.5Ks from our place to the studio. The worry is that you crash it and then it's the insurer is just going to write it off because, you know, but sell it? No.
Okay. So I'd like that you went down the route of the missus, right? I've met the missus.
Mm.
She's a lovely lady.
Mm.
But is she lovely enough to get on board with this purchase? Because this whole exercise could prove futile.
Well, so we're not sure. But to be clear, when I bought the MX-5, she was unaware what we were going to look at.
Okay. Next so we just show up with the car and apologize later.
No, next to it was the Honda. And she's like, are we here for the Honda? And I'm like, no, we're here for the Mazda. She says, do you fit? I said, yeah. She's like, cool.
Okay.
And then to be clear, when she goes to Wits, does she take the new car we bought her? No, she takes MX-5 because she gets to go down Oxford. And so she loves driving it. She's not as good as sliding it as I am. She's a little nervy to slide it.
She'll get there. In fact,
you can tell who's been driving it because, like, you know, when I've been driving it, we get 400 Ks on a tank. And when she's driving it, you get 550. But otherwise, she loves it.
Okay, so we're going to go on the assumption and the hope and the prayer, and we're going to ask our community to pray for us as well, that we're going to buy the car, show up, and she's going to forgive us for not... We apologize in advance. I'm going to have to shoulder a lot of that apology as the concierge who put all of this together. I know. But we've got the buy-in, right? So now it comes down to what are some of the other factors that would make us decide before we get the decision. There's no intention to resell or to trade it in and all of that. So that's good.
Yeah.
That then means then that things like resale value and aftermarket value become less important. But these are factors that other people might look at when owning a vehicle like this.
Mm-hmm.
Maintenance and upkeep. The assumption is that this is not going to be a cheap thing to maintain. I don't even think it's an assumption at this point. I think it's a known fact.
Okay, that's a fair point, because my little Mazda just goes to some chappy and he like zip, no problem.
That's it. But here, I can easily tell you. I mean, let's take, for example, the Audi R8, right? The Audi R8 on tire spec, and I bring up tire spec because we have potholes in South Africa, and folks, you know what that means for the rest of us, right? Tire
Audi's
spec.
Audi's a four-wheel drive.
It is a four-wheel drive, but... You are at almost 20 inches on tires, right? So a 295/30 R19 tire is your rear tire. Your front tires are 235, slightly smaller, slightly narrower than the 295. 19s on that, you're probably at 19s or 20s across the Maserati as well. I'll just check what we've got on this one at the moment. You're on 20-inch tires there, right? Similar spec. 20-inch tire. The racing, the 911 racing, probably might be your cheapest tire because it might be your smallest in size.
Yeah, because 20 inches is like...
For context, 20-inch tires, if you're going to do a set, I'll get the facts from Tiger Wheel, but my estimate, based on kind of what I know, 25 grand a set.
That's not too bad.
It's not too bad. Depending on the tire, which here you're going to want probably something good, a good compound, a Pirelli,
a Michelin.
That's it.
I love Michelins.
Okay, so you like Michelins. I'll find you the Michelin price. So maintenance, while we get into the maintenance side of it. Petrol's going to be your biggest expense, undoubtedly. Car wash, not going to be too much of a problem there. It'll be easy to keep clean. There's no intention to resell, as we've mentioned, so we're not worried about that. Okay, other than the servicing and all the other things that come with it, which are normal, right?
Uh-huh.
Let's find out the cost of the tires, because I think that might realistically, and it won't be much of a difference because one's 19, one's 20s. You could probably put 20s on the R8 as well. It's not really that much of a difference. But let's find out, perhaps, if I can get you an idea. What are your thoughts around the four? Do you think I've given you three cars that accurately compete with the Ferrari you saw?
Yes, and yes. So the thing is with it is that two of them are like brand new sports cars. Well, I mean, relatively. The ones are 2012, the Audis are 2012, and the Maseratis are 2017, which is like yesterday. I mean, like that car's younger than my niece and nephew. I mean, like you were born during those.
Yes,
cars.
I was born then.
Yeah. So they're classic brands, but not classic cars.
Yes. And again, that's why I said part of the balance was finding you a vehicle I thought you would enjoy driving as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that also sits within kind of what we're looking at. But while we're doing that, what are your thoughts on where they stand at the moment? What are your thoughts around perhaps, what are some of the things you don't like about the vehicles?
So the Maserati is white. I mean the Audi, but that Audi is like probably deadly. No, come on. I mean that what's it, a 5.2 liter, 386 kilowatt four-wheel drive. Like that thing's going to hurt you, like when you take off.
But it's going to be fun.
Yeah, all-wheel drive, will that still spin from the road? Yeah, it'll still.
With the amount of power you've got under the hood, you can try.
You mean I could probably spin at 100 k's an hour?
Quite possibly.
Yeah, so to me it's almost broken into two, right? There's the Audi and the Maserati, and then there's the Porsche and the Ferrari. Which, I mean, the Ferrari kind of, I don't know. I mean, I can't decide if the Ferrari completely fades away or if it being a classic 308 GTS, it's like its classicness just...
So, side note on that, we did talk about some of the classic Ferraris, and last week I mentioned the F40. Slight correction on that, folks. It's not the most valuable Ferrari in existence. existence. I had neglected the likes of the 250 GTO, to which I apologize. That wasn't the focal point of the discussion, and perhaps I phrased that incorrectly, but it does still remain one of the most valuable Ferraris to ever be made. The 308 GTS, my thoughts. Lovely. Great Ferrari. Okay. I don't think it would beat the other three. I mean, if I have to, so let's go with
in a race or in picking up babes.
Well, you can't do the second one anyway, so that's fine because you're married.
I could just take him to the store for lollipops and then go on my way.
That's going to be edited out. So let's keep them in the categories that you've got them in, right?
Yeah.
I think perhaps.
You think the 308's a boring car?
No, but I think if we're comparing it to the 911 Racing, the SC race car, I like the fact that both of them are classic, older than, so pre-1990 models, 1980, 1978, great timeless kind of vehicles.
It's a left-hand drive, I hadn't noticed that.
The Ferrari?
No, the
Porsche.
Porsche.
Okay, so that's perhaps another factor to take into account. But these days you can manage those around registrations and things. Mm. Not an issue. I would, between the two of those, I've always been impartial towards Porsche as a brand. And perhaps that creates a bit of a bias on my part. That being said, I do think you might get more attention in the Ferrari. And the reason I say that is because the Porsche hasn't changed their shape. The 911 shape is the classic timeless shape. And only a true Porsche enthusiast would notice the race car version of the 911.
And I got to say, I worry that those seats aren't comfortable.
The bucket seats. Yeah. Fine. So,
I mean, you're strapped in, make no bones, but like you're also strapped in.
So between the two of those, I think then that the SC comes in just below the
Ferrari. It's like $1 million. It's so cheap.
It's a lot cheaper, which is a big sway factor in favor of the Porsche. Let's look at the other two.
Yeah, yeah.
So for now, the Ferrari sits third in our list of four, with the SC sitting fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Do we now think that these other two rank higher than the Ferrari? I say they do, both.
On performance, absolutely, and on wow factor, and on noise. And noise.
Just noise.
and performance and everything else, absolutely they do. In terms of classic, no.
No, but that's the one factor that they would never compete with. I mean, the age difference between the vehicles alone puts them out of contention.
Yeah.
Anything post-2000 is technically not. I mean, yes, it might be 25 years old, but I don't think we're in classic territory as yet.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe not classic territory. Understandable, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But classic wasn't the only parameter.
Correct.
The parameters were something fun. They were something that you would enjoy driving. And as the KZN person that you are, and knowing some of the KZN roads, I've got a vision of you trolling down the N3 with the top down in the R8 because you enjoy driving with the top down.
Yeah. Particularly when it's raining, because the fun fact is you don't get wet because the rain just goes over you.
Okay.
Until you come to a stop street.
I'll give you my ranking, but I want to get your ranking.
Okay. I think it would probably be, I think the R8 might pip the Ferrari. I think it's R8 Ferrari, then Maserati, partly because it's white. And it's a Maserati. It's a lovely car, but I'm not sure it's the same heft.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Shelby and the Porsche, I concur with you. I also, much as it looks beautiful, those bucket seats look deeply uncomfortable. I mean, it's designed for racing.
Okay.
I'm going to have to take it to Zwartkops or somewhere and actually race it or something like that. So I think it's the R8 and I'm still for that Ferrari. I know you diss it, but I think those are the...
those are your front runners. So the R8, the Ferrari, and then the Maz would come in third place.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I would have the Maserati a little higher than the Ferrari on the basis of a couple of things. It is newer. You're going to get more drive out of the vehicle, given that we're in the same price point on the two vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I love the way it sounds. To be fair, I haven't heard the 308 GTS that we're talking about here against the others. So it might sound better. It might sound, I know the classic Ferrari sound that we can expect to get out of it. And the fact that it is red is a big win for the Ferrari conversation. So I would probably place, for myself, I would take the Maserati first. I would take the R8 second. I would take the Ferrari third. I have different reasons because I don't believe at 300 Ks an hour, I need to be having no roof over my head. I would like a roof over my head in that situation. That's a story for a different day.
But then this is easily solved, right? So we buy the Ferrari and the RA.
Okay.
And we share them.
Buy the Ferrari and the RA.
Because they're both in our top three, so we're both happy. You want to add the Maserati as
well? I want to add the Maserati. The Maserati's a good everyday drive, right? It's a good, I can do city driving and just be a menace. I can be a nuisance in city limits. But, folks, we are out of time. We'd love to get your rankings. We'd love to get your thoughts. This has been one of our great deep dives. It's been a very lengthy deep dive. Before we go and move on to our Make It Make Sense, I'm going to give Si that update on those numbers. The Pirelli P0 20-inch tire per tire, 9,000 rand. So, set would set you back almost 40,000. That's where we're going to leave the deep dive. And wrapping things up with what we've now called Make It Make Sense. We dig into some things all in the public domain. We don't make any of the stuff up. We find it out there and we try to make sense of it. We're going to look at two things this week. We're going to be looking at the government of South Africa shutting down their own electricity. Doesn't make sense, but hey, Si.
If you haven't paid, you get shut. Surely? Why are they getting shut?
The city of Tshwane operates some reservoirs. Well, various municipalities. Yeah. Municipalities operate reservoirs. Yeah, yeah. This particular case, a municipality operates a reservoir. Part of operating those reservoirs is obviously electricity to run.
Pump the water up.
Exactly. The municipality has not paid its bill. And therefore, the reservoir electricity has been shut down. Now the residents...
By the municipality.
By the municipality. Now the residents don't have water because the reservoir is not pumping water. Sure. But it's not because it's the residents' fault. Make it make sense.
Are there water tankers involved?
No. Sure. The water tanker mafia, not yet. Maybe. We don't know. But the point is,
because
there's a notice issue.
Like if I pay myself, right? Yes. It's like moving money from my current account to my credit card, right? Then I can just move it back if I want to. So you could pay yourself and then you wouldn't get cut off. And then you could just move it back the other way one time again.
Don't give them more ideas.
Okay, delete that. That was too. No, it makes sense. You don't pay, you get cut. It doesn't matter that you are who the people.
That you are the bond billing yourself.
I know, and cutting yourself, I know. But like, you know, hey, good for residents.
How do we reconcile service delivery with just common sense? Because we know some municipalities, most municipalities, owe the likes of Eskom. Mm. Eskom has come out to say...
Yeah, but this isn't even Eskom's problem. This is Eskom's they owe
not
themselves.
The one, Eskom's not the one shutting you down here.
Yeah, I know. Just pay yourself.
Just pay yourself. Okay. That's all we can get from
That's
that.
That's all I can think of.
Right. The other thing to make sense of. Do you remember last week, after we did our show, there was an announcement that the deal for the purchase of EA Sports is going through. And as I said that in my head, I finished that whole slogan and there was a game starting in my head. The youngins that know EA Sports games will know exactly which phrase I'm talking about. There was a deal. Mm. The Saudi PIF, our favorite sovereign wealth fund, is involved in a deal to purchase EA Sports with a couple of other people. There's a couple of other parties involved. That deal is not so much the problem here. What is interesting is the press secretary, Caroline Leavitt. We know her. She does all the press briefings in the White House.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah. She's the White House press secretary. She, when asked about a certain individual, had said, this individual is donating their time and their intellectual capacity to the benefit and the betterment of the United States. How dare we question somebody donating their time to the United States? Now, the person in question, this might provide some clarity, is one Jared Kushner.
I didn't say it's Jared.
Who, for those who don't know, is the son-in-law of President Trump, married to President Trump's daughter, Ivanka Trump. It just so happens that Jared Kushner's private equity firm is the private equity firm standing to benefit from the acquisition of EA Sports. Yeah. It just so happens that this is the same private equity firm that has been doing deals with the United Arab Emirates, with Saudi, and with the bulk of the Middle East as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't even know what we want to make sense of here. But the EA Sports deal is linked to President Trump inherently now because of this. And it comes back to a conversation we've had in the past about this, is doing it out in the open versus doing it in secret. Wealth and self-enrichment seems to be the order of the day from a political perspective.
Yeah.
I can't say we should be surprised, can you?
So the young kid, Barron's, like, apparently worth $150 million. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not surprised whatsoever. This is also Saudi Arabia, because we have to remember that they kill journalists, don't they? Is, in a sense, this is like greenwashing, although this is game washing rather than sport washing. They got a whole lot of comedians out there just the other day to go and tell jokes and paid them over the odds money, as long as they didn't say anything nasty about Saudi Arabia. The same comedians who keep on telling you that they're being cancelled by the libtard left, or whatever they call the Democrats back there, but they're quite happy to go to a, yeah.
Well, if it pays your bills, it pays your bills, right?
Yeah.
I suppose it might be a little different in the case of the comedians, because it is what we do for a living. But the understanding that we all have, I think, as a human race, is that offices like the presidency should not be used for personal gain.
Correct.
Although I suppose that understanding might just be our own fault for having in place
as a deeply flawed.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. It's our own flaw and our own fault for being so naive about
these
that situation.
Guys have got all the games, hey? They got Formula One, they got soccer, they got like all sorts, they got games.
EA Sports is behind FIFA.
Yeah.
The FIFA soccer.
Yeah.
They're huge. They're not small by any stretch.
Yeah, and the NHL, which I think is a bit random, but college, I don't understand that. But I mean, these are the games.
Yes.
And Sims.
SimCity. So, again, make sense. Does political power equal self-enrichment or not?
It does now.
It does now.
And trust me, everyone else is like, looky, looky.
And I suppose you're setting up your next generation. You're making sure that things for your descendants or your descendants' descendants are all right, and it doesn't really matter what the cost is, I guess. I'm trying to make sense of it. That's why we've got it on the segment.
Yeah, I know. We're not making sense of it.
We're not making sense of it.
Turns out we should have gone into politics.
We should have gone into politics. Okay, so Sai and I have chosen the wrong careers to go into. Mm-hmm. Folks, if you can make sense of the information that is out there, perhaps let us know. Give us your thoughts around that. We'd love to hear from you in that respect. But we've come to the end of the show. We've run out of time. Before we go, we are not going to make the mistake of leaving you without an unfiltered opinion. This week's unfiltered opinion of the week, courtesy of Sai, has to do with tea bags.
Well, this gets awkward. No, because when we were chatting all that time ago about the tea bags, I wasn't quite. So firstly, it's the 1837 black tea. Now, I don't much like tea. I think tea is for the English. They can keep their tea. But that 1837 TWG, the black tea, is like something quite wild. It is fruity. It is like quite spectacular. And I had some in loose leaf once, and it was like really, really lacquer. And my wife's a tea drinker, so I thought I should buy her some of these. So they come in this little fancy luxury tea bag. It used to be silk, but not so much anymore. And it's really, really good tea. But I thought it was, I thought it was 30 bags in a box, and the box is like not cheap. The box turns out it's only 15 bags in a box, so it's actually
15 tea bags in a box. How much do these 15 tea bags cost, Simon?
Look, 30 rand each, which is about what a tea costs at Wimpy.
450 rand.
You're good at math.
I'm 450 rand to buy 15 tea bags.
Well, yeah, but you see, you can't just buy 15 because of postage. Below 1,000 rand, you've got to pay courier fees. So you've got to buy 3 boxes. So actually, it's 1,350 rand for 45
tea bags. That's the unfiltered opinion of the week, folks. Sai may have found the most expensive tea bags in history. We're going to leave it on that note. Investing isn't hard. Just try it.
Coffee.
The views expressed by the host or hosts in this show do not necessarily represent those of our clients, sponsors, partners, or guests, and should not be considered investment advice in any way. Similarly, the views and opinions of our guests and clients do not necessarily reflect those of our hosts or our platform. Nothing shared on this platform or any other platform affiliated with us should be read and construed as constituting investment advice of any kind on the part of Insider Exchange, any of its hosts, guests, partners, or sponsors. Trading and investing carry varying levels of risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Please ensure that you fully understand the risks and take appropriate care to manage your risk. We strongly advise that you obtain independent financial, legal, and tax advice from regulated professionals and institutions before proceeding with investment decisions.